speak to, and various of them will be doing different things during the day, but I just wanted to mention that while they were all in the room, because they've got other responsibilities. So there they are.
Well, it's my honour to welcome Pastor Craig and Maureen Dietriebel. But I just, as they come, I want to read a prophetic word from Trevor, who's the other associate pastor of the church here. And he just said, I'm missing you guys, I wish I could be here. And so he's written this word. And so I just want you to always just close your eyes and let Jesus speak this to you, because I think it is really very profound. And so this is coming to you from Victory Base for Can. And Trevor says, I've been praying for you and feeling things in my spirit over the last couple of days. I hear the Lord say, He is awakening hunger again. And that hunger pains are beginning to come forth. I see a rumbling happening in the spirit. And this is a rumbling that creates hunger pains. What I see is like a person who's been very sick and has not been able to eat a meal because they just don't feel themselves. But now they're beginning to feel better. The sickness is beginning to subside. And the hunger pains are stirring once again as they want to eat. Before, food did not sound good to them, but now they are hungry. I believe in this season, God is bringing the church and this nation back to life. God wants to bring you back to where you have once been. I believe He is quickening and awakening a hunger to heal the church and defer all that which has made your heart sick. I believe today will be a day of impartation of the spirit of faith. Disillusionment and frustration will pass away. A season of clarity is coming to you. The fog is clearing. Even there is a fresh release of the prophetic sound and a voice that will come from you to the nations. And God says, I am reestablishing my voice in the church to ring from the church to the nation. And the voice of this nation will again cry out to the nations. This is a season of suddenlies. You will see things begin to break out in a moment. You will see hunger come in unlikely places. People who had no desire, literally, suddenly, as the fog lifts, pursuing you with hunger. I have an impression in my spirit of a woman that begins to feel contractions and birthings beginning to kick within her body. And I believe that God says, get ready. Birth pains are coming to you in the church. And this is a season to work with them and pray them. I hear the words, wake up, O sleeping giant. How many have heard that word before for Britain? Again and again. Wake up, O sleeping giant. I hear the Spirit singing, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise and shine. Now, this is Spokane. I wonder if he even knows that was our Kellogg's advert for years and years. Good morning, arise and shine. I bet he doesn't, but we know what that means. Wake up, wake up. And Isaiah 60, how many would say, that is our prophetic scripture for Britain. Arise and shine. I see leaders walking out of a place of disillusionment and disappointment. The fences that have gripped them being shaken off. A new awakening as they take their seats of judgment. I honestly see leaders that have been sidelined and confused for years suddenly finding themselves back in position in a new place of wisdom, ready to take charge. I feel like there are one or two connections that are going to be triggered even today with individuals that will begin to be door openers of opportunity for you. Just like the angel walked Peter out of prison, so today have an expectation. People will take hold of you and walk you out of the shut out place and help you rediscover the new place where you need to walk. Doors are opening to you. And in your gathering, I see God forming a coat of many colors. That's the tribe thing again, the tribes and the colors. And He is putting upon you unparalleled favor. I feel God is saying He's pulling you together with a coat of many colors, different giftings, different callings, different perspectives, because He wants you to have your differences and walk as one. Many tribes, one nation. And I hear the words, flashpoint. And it will manifest in tangible ways. The crazy thing is I see many of these gatherings happen where you begin to come together and spawn even from what you're doing today and begin to get alongside people I sense expectancy. Know that your baby is going to be born. Trevor Seaman, Associate Pastor, Victory Faith First Can. Be blessed. So come on, stir that hunger. Please do come, Father. Stir that hunger. Father, right now, we stir hunger. We stir more. We increase our space for more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we break off. We had a prophetic word. I'm just going to put the word in here. We're going to pray it later. It's time to get rid of every reluctance leader. Come on. If you've been reluctant, come on, break that word now. Come on, I'm taking away. No reluctant leader. Come on, let's separate it now. And we're going to pray into that later. But that's what he's picking up. No reluctant. Come on, front foot, ready to go in Jesus' name.
Good morning. It is so very good to be with you. We are so blessed to be here. What a good-looking crew. My goodness. Look at your neighbor and say, you look marvelous. All right, that's enough. Come back. I'll just let you know, it is such a privilege for us to be here with some of our favorite people. We love Gordon and Rachel and Helen. They, I'll tell you what, they are important in America. They're important here, amen? They're important here, but they are important in our country. We believe that connection of the land here that helped birth America, and when they come, they walk in an incredible authority and grace, and they are a huge blessing to our church. And we love every time we get to spend every minute with them, just because they're fun and they're good people. And so Moni, my wife, will stand and wave, and she'll come up at the end and share a little bit. That's all right. Pastor Trevor, why don't you stand up? Give him a good wave. And so we're talking about leaders. This is exciting. Most areas of talking about leadership, I want to read somebody's book. I want to listen to Rachel preach. But what I'm going to share with you today is one of the strongest passions in my life in the area of leadership. And I'm going to quote that same verse in Romans 12, verse 8 that Rachel had. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And what would that look like? I think that might look like changing your schedule to be in a meeting. Anybody here change your schedule to be here today? Come on, I bet yes. You did. Come on, I bet every one of you did. That's what leadership looks like. How many of you took more than 15 minutes to get here today? Raise your hand. That's what it looks like. So you look like leaders. You look like leaders. You're making leadership decisions. Putting yourself in a place where you can grow, putting yourself in a place where you can hear from the voice of God. And so I just want to come in and encourage you. John Maxwell has said leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. And God is serious about our influence. Yes. What we use our influence for. And every one of us has influence. And for us, in our church, in our ministry, a little bit about myself. My background is business. I used to be in business doing real estate, did buildings like this, shopping centers and that type of thing. So I've got that business background. But for Moni and I and for our church, if you're talking about influence, we quickly get around to talking about generations. Yes. And influencing the generations in front of us and the generations behind us. And so today I'm going to talk about influencing the generations in our leadership. And if you'll let me, I'm believing God's going to stretch us so that maybe we look at leadership in a whole new light, in a different light. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to talk about steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to kind of take it up to 30,000 feet and give you a big picture, because that's what I like to do. She's the 1, 2, 3, 4, get it all put together. And we wouldn't have built anything we built without the two of us working together. Do you know that there is destiny on every generation? There is destiny on every generation. And I believe God wants us as leaders to let him put a bigger picture in front of us. Yes. A bigger picture of things that we're supposed to lead, things that we're supposed to influence. I was amazed. We were at Blenheim. What an incredible place. And it's in your backyard, those that are near Oxford. Winston Churchill tapped into the generations. He looked at the generations that had gone before him, and it helped him set his course for the generations to come. I heard it again and again reading the notes. Matter of fact, they often, when they talked about him, they talked about destiny. And he would look at why he was here because of who had come before him, and then it helped him make decisions, risk his life, because he saw, I believe I'm here, and there's purpose in me being here. So I saw even in him. So I want to take you to one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Isaiah 41, verse 4, and it says this: Who has prepared and done this, calling forth and guiding the destinies of the generations? Yeah. Who, that's the Amplified. Who has done this? So it says God has prepared and called forth the destiny of generations. He has called forth the generations. The New American Standard says he is calling forth the generations from the beginning. Wow. So I want to get, can I get this row here to come stand up along right here? And I'm going to say they are one generation. Now, whether you know this or not, this happened to you before you were even in your mother's womb. Remember Jeremiah? The Lord told Jeremiah, before I yatsared you, before I shaped you and formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, or a better translation would be, I saw you. So before you were ever in your mother's womb, God saw you. And this scripture tells us that he has called forth the generations and guided their destinies. It also says, Rachel said in Acts 13, that David served the purpose of God in his generation. And that word is huperateo, and it means like the under oarsmen in a boat, the guys all rowing together. So every generation has something in common that God has put within us. So I love to think about, out there in eternity, God lines up a generation like this, and he calls them forth. He calls them forth into their destiny. Before they're ever in their mother's womb, he lines them up and calls them forth. That word kara, I think we've got some of the definitions for it up there. Calling, that word kara, that he says he calls out the generations, it means to call out, to address by name. So when God lined up this generation to call them forth, he addresses them by name. It also means to accost. I'm going to use David, I guess, to accost. I mean, this word kara, we might think, well, God is, it's like bingo. You know, bingo here. B12, C14. No, that's not what this is. It actually means that God accosts the person. He accosts. This is a violent, this is a passionate word. So God lines up a generation like a wave about ready to hit the shores of history. God lines up a generation before they're ever in their mother's womb, and he accosts them, he attacks them, and he speaks with passion into them, and I believe he speaks destiny upon them, because he said, for such a time as this you were born. See, God has a purpose in every generation. David discovered God's purpose for his generation. Do you know God's purpose for your generation? God has called us. And so he calls us like that, and then he sends us, and like waves, we hit the shore of history. Generation, they're like waves coming upon the shore of history. You guys can be seated. Thank you for that. So God calls them, and they hit the shores. He calls forth the generations. Can you imagine what a majestic thing it is to see that? Can you imagine what that looks like to see God line up a whole generation, go after them? Why does he get so passionate about it? Because for such a time as this, each one of us was created. And God knows what is coming in the days that we will be rising into adulthood. He knows the marriages that are going to be destroyed. He knows the turmoil that will be in the nations. And so he has to speak passion into us and let us know it's because you were born for such a time as this. And you're going to have to carry passion. You can't be apathetic. You can't be passive when your time comes. You're going to have to rise up into your destiny and into your calling. So he calls forth the generations, and there is passion in it because it has great purpose. In Acts 17, verse 26 in the NIV, it says, he chose the time you would be born. He chose the time you would be born and the exact place where you would live. That's what it says. So they're like generational waves coming upon the shores of history. That's what we are like. Wave after wave, generation after generation, needing to fulfill their destiny and purpose. Do you know that each wave impacts the next?
Yes.
The wave before impacts the wave coming, and the wave coming impacts the one behind it. I studied this in Hawaii.
Oh, tough.
I got this revelation from the Lord, and I sat on a beach and watched for hours waves. And you know what happens? That wave that hits the shore, it will affect the one coming behind it. And it will either work with the wave coming behind it, or it will undercut it and work against that wave. Now, what would that look like? Well, I'm going to stretch you here a little bit and irritate you maybe a little bit. What would that look like for you and I if our generation came upon the shore? How could we undercut the wave behind us? Well, here's one way. If we hit the shore, can you imagine a wave hitting the shore and say, "We're the last wave"? Whoops. See, in America, we had something called left behind. And most of the Christians that bought into that were very excited about that and just were having a miserable day and wanted to get to heaven and didn't want to press through here. Can you imagine a wave coming, hitting the shore and saying, "We're it, I'm the last wave, we're wrapping it all up"? And I can't tell you how many young people I talked to that said, "What's with that? Yeah. I haven't even started living my life yet, and my parents are saying they're out of here." That's one way we can undercut it. You're getting very quiet on me now. What's another way we could do that? We could say things like this. We can't have music like that in the church. Are we okay?
Yeah, way good.
We can't have young people looking like that in the church.
That's right.
Oh boy. This generation is so lazy. This younger generation that undercuts. Come on. Are we going to be a wave that's going to help the generation behind us? But then we can't forget the generation in front of us. If our leader is calling forth the generations, then our job as leaders is to call forth the generations. We should stand side by side with him and call forth the generations that God has for us to call forth. What else could it look like? Well, in a business, it could look like, "Well, I don't have time to teach the next generation business. I've got to make money." When we could be calling up the next generation in business. Politicians, what could that look like for politicians? Holding on to the bitter end till my last breath and I'm in political office. I can't walk hardly, but I'm 95, but I'm still in political office. That's in America. We've got some people hanging on. I think you can push them over with a feather. They're just, raise up the next generation and go enjoy life. If we come ashore alone, we have very little impact. But if we come ashore together collectively with our generation, we can change culture.
Yeah.
Influencing culture and the nations is tied into the generations. It's tied into the generations. So I want to talk about the thought of calling forth the next generation as leaders.
Yeah.
And some of us here, we are intimidated by the next generation. Would you be really transparent with me? Just really transparent. How many of you, if you were just brutally honest, would say, "I'm kind of intimidated by the next generation. I don't know how to talk with them. I don't know how to raise..." If that's you, raise your hand. Come on. Yeah. God wants us to reach back and call forth the next generation. Do you know how I would know if that was true in, let's say, my life? By how many young people I'm working with.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is this okay?
Yes. Don't ask me.
So I'm going to give you two ways. There's a whole bunch, but two ways we can call forth the generation. Two ways we can reach back to those coming behind us and call them up into their calling and destiny. The first one is with our words.
Yes.
Words. Something so simple as our words. We can influence with our words. I love using the example of my grandfather. My grandfather died 45 years ago. He's been gone 45 years. But I had a wonderful relationship with him, and words he spoke over me, I still hear his voice today. He had a wooden leg. He would cut. He was up on mountains cutting logging trees and had lumber sawmills, lumber mills. He was a big business guy. But he lost one of his legs in a logging accident, and so he had a wooden leg, but he would outwork everybody. He was such a hard worker, and he would teach me and train me, and I can still hear his voice right now. He would sit me down as a young boy and say, "Craig, hard work's a good thing. Don't ever be afraid of hard work." And then he would sit down, he said, "Now I want you to learn this saying, Craig. I want you to repeat after me. Count the day lost." I'd say, "Count the day lost. When low descending sun, views from thy hand, no worthy action done." I hear his voice. He's been dead 45 years. And I hear, you know what the Bible says about Abel? Though being dead, he still speaks. How many of you, when I'm gone from this planet for 100 years, I want my kids, my grandkids, my spiritual sons and daughters to be quoting me. I want them to hear, and what are they going to quote? Encouragement, words of hope. Words of blessing over them.
Yeah, it's good.
Doctors can do this.
Yeah.
Doctors can do this. With your patients, doctors can do it. Raising up the next generation of medical people. Business owners can do this. Politicians can do this. Your words, our words, can shape a generation. Pastors, ministry leaders, all leaders. Young people are dying for words of encouragement. They're dying for words of encouragement. And you know what? I believe it makes us like our Father when we speak words of encouragement. Helen did a great teaching in Italy when we were just there, talking about how did heaven speak to help Helen, Rachel?
I did a great job.
You did awesome. You did awesome. They are the Trinity. Come on, Gordon. They are the Trinity. Okay, got myself in trouble with that one. Let's not take our words lightly. Let's realize the power. Life and death for a generation is in the power of our tongue. Life and death for a generation are in the power of our tongue. And so Rachel did this, not Helen. Rachel did a great job in Italy too, teaching about what are some of the things, what would you tell a 15-year-old? And if you were a little more honest with me, some of you would have raised your hands more. Because if there's a 15-year-old in front of us, what do I say to them? Rachel did a great teaching on, well, let's come up with some things. What would we say? Pastor Moni and I, we have come up with some things that we just use in our vocabulary and our language. One of the things we love telling young people is you're not on this journey alone.
Yes.
They always seem to think they're dying. They always seem to be, you know, they don't have got a lot of life under their belt, so they think that they're going to die that day. And so one of the things we tell them is you're not on this journey alone. We encourage our staff. Tell them you love them. We love you. And in America, the number one college basketball coach that is the winningest coach of all time tells his young man, "I love you."
Great.
These big, burly guys tells them he loves them. They need to hear it. Now when I tell a guy, if you're telling a lady that, change a little bit, say, "Love ya," or something like that. Just don't get all googly and say, "I love you." That's some of the things we tell them. We tell them, you're going to make it. They need to hear that. The next generation needs to hear it. You are going to make it. I get to use these all the time. I'm so proud of you. Those are some of the, I texted and tweeted probably 5 people yesterday, younger generation back in Spokane, and told them, "I'm so proud of you. You are amazing. You're awesome." And telling those speaking those words under them, to them. I heard a famous person say this, "You never know till you give it a go." So what can we speak to those coming behind us and call them in? God's calling them into their destiny as a generation, and he's looking at us and saying, "Will you continue to do the work I began? Will you speak destiny to them? Will you speak hope? Will you speak love? Will you speak encouragement?" And I'll tell you, the more we do that, the more they want to be around us. Sometimes they think, well, if we get them encouraged and they're up in this place of leadership, then I'm out of here. No. If you do it, we do it right, they're going to want to hang on to us. I've told our people, when Pastor Trevor is running the show at Victory Faith, I'm going to be his biggest cheerleader. The second way. So the first one is our words. The second one, so important, doing life with them.
Yes.
Doing life together with them. We can influence with our time. so many pastors and leaders in America are not spending time with the next generation. They will preach to them on Sunday, but they won't hang out with them during the week. And our young ones are looking for that. They're craving that. They want to hang out together. So it's so important to do it with people. And that can be a business. That can be a medical. My dad was such a father before he even knew the Lord. He would father, he had the real estate company I worked for. He would father young guys and even older guys. He wasn't just a business owner. He was a father. And at his funeral, my dad's funeral, I saw 60, 70-year-old businessmen in three-piece suits get up at the altar and cry and weep and describe how my dad had loved them and fathered them. You can do it in business. You can do it in politics. You can do it in every field. It means leading together with them. We show them their greatest value when we lead together with them. They did a study recently in the States, and this millennial, younger generation valued their boss taking them out for lunch almost as much as a raise. The younger generation said, yeah, a raise is great, but what if my boss took me out for lunch and we just spent the lunch hour together? The younger generation valued that almost as much as a financial raise. So at Victory Faith, we definitely don't have this figured out. We've been working on this for 20 plus years, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. But all of our teams that we build are generational. We're putting them together generationally. We are constantly taking young leaders with us when we go to the East Coast in America. And you know what? It's expensive. It's just expensive. We take young ones with us. When I go to national leadership meetings, we take young ones with us. When we come to Oxford, we bring young ones with us. Almost everywhere we go, everything we do, we take the next generation or two with us. And I want them to see the great leaders of our day. I want Pastor Trevor to see these three and see them in action. I want them to meet you. I want them to hear, what are the great leaders in England doing in this day and age? So it's so important that we do that. A God-inspired teacher can do this. A spiritual mentor can do this. A parent can do this. A grandparent can do this. I believe this is leadership. And if we get this leadership thing transfer right, looking at the generation coming behind us, I'll tell you what, I will never be bored till I draw my last breath on planet Earth. I will never be bored. My hands will never be empty of purpose as long as I am looking at the young ones coming behind me. And they're going to look weird at sometimes. And they're going to smell weird, and they're going to act weird, and they're going to think weird, and they're going to say things, I can't believe they just said that. But when I stick with them, God uses it. And now all of a sudden, I've got so many young people around me, I feel 20 years younger than I am because I hang out with so many young people. And in our church, we are a generational church. We have the 80-year-old, 70-year-old, 60-year-old, 50-year-old, 40-year-old. We have all of that, and they love each other. And they are getting along, and they're cheering each other on. It is so much fun. So let me finish with that. I want to say one thing. These two have modeled what I'm talking to you about. These two have. I don't know if you realize that, but this is an incredible generational transfer between these two. And it speaks for the future, that good things are ahead in the future, because all that Rachel has deposited in Helen, but it's taken the two hearts turning towards each other, and God's done an amazing thing with the two of them. So that's it for me. I want to bring Pastor Trevor up. He is a third generation leader in our house. What I mean by that is Pastor Moni and I would be first generation. Pastor Trevor, who spoke that prophetic word that you heard, he would be the one we mentored. And then Trevor turned around and has been the main mentor for Trevor. And I wanted him to share his story a little bit and what it has meant to him to have the next generation call him forth. Go for it.
Man, this is such a cool... just atmosphere to be in. I'm so honored. And it really is a testimony to what building generationally can do, because in and of myself, I would not be here. Like, I would be working in some restaurant like I've been doing for years. But I showed up to Victory Faith probably about 10 years ago. And I was just this pipsqueak high school kid who was all sorts of problematic and I had my problems and my issues. But what was so powerful was Pastor Trevor, who was then the youth pastor, saw something in me. I don't know what he saw, but he saw destiny and he saw the call of God on my life. And what was so profound was in the middle of my own mess, in the middle of my own patterns of sin and chaos that I was dealing with, he saw the call of God on my life, and wasn't intimidated by my problems. He wasn't scared that I would mess things up, but he saw something in me, and he took the time to hang out with me. He took the time to speak life over me. He took the time and he spent the money to take me out to lunch and to do all this kind of stuff. Just like everything that Pastor Craig said, he spoke life where I was in the middle of death, in the middle of my family. My family was falling apart and a ministry family was, my dad was gone and I was broken and I didn't love God. I didn't love the church, but there was this man who saw something inside of me and he began to call it out and he began to speak life over me and he began to spend time and money with me and he called out the destiny in me that I did not even see in my own self. When I looked in a mirror, I saw broken, but when he looked at me, he saw purpose and he saw a call of God, and that's what he began to spoke over me. And I would look at myself and I would begin to speak of myself and see myself the way that this great man of God that I looked up to so much began to speak over me, and it began to shape and shift my identity and who I was called to be, because there was somebody who saw me and believed in me and was willing to put his money and his time where his mouth was. And because of that, I've been launched into my destiny. And really what Pastor Craig and Moni do is they build generationally, and they don't just talk about it. I just need you to hear that from me, who has grown up in that. It's not just in speech, but it's in action. They really are building quite an incredible church, and I'm just honored to be part of it. But what I love about it is, so it's kind of like when you're sitting at a table, right? When you're having a dinner party and a new person comes to the table. And you want, like, that new person obviously looks like they want to sit down, they want a place to sit. But what has to happen is there has to be eyes to see that person wants to sit down at the table. And then what has to happen is just a little bit of a shift and making room at the table. There has to be the eyes to see the purpose and the eyes to see, hey, you have something that is useful to the kingdom of God. And then it takes leaders that aren't so stuck on their position and so tied down to the seat that they sit in, that they're willing to say, you know what, I will scoot over and I will make room for you here. Here, let me serve you some of the food that we're eating. Let me help you in this journey called life. And because of that, I get to come to Oxford and do things that I would never get to do. And because of the leadership of Pastor Craig and Moni and Pastor Trevor, I am now over the youth ministry at our church, and I am doing that for the generations to come, saying, you know what, God has a purpose, God has a call on your life, and there is an attack from the enemy on a generation. But can I tell you something? That our words, our time, our money, our giftings, that as we pour out into the generations, we will see a return on the investment. We will see a return on the investment. And I have to tell you this, it is not easy and it is not quick.
Yeah,
it does not happen overnight. And it is not the most pretty, glamorous type thing, but can I tell you, it is worth it, because in our churches, in our businesses, in our whatever sphere of influence, there are young people that have a call of God on their lives. And they're waiting for you, and they're waiting for me to speak that over them and to give them a place at the table to sit, to learn, to practice, to mess up, to be encouraged, to be corrected, to be teachable, and to be catapulted into the destiny that God has for me. I love, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church and he's saying, look, you have enough teachers, you have enough guides in Christ. You have that. But what you're lacking is fathers. Yeah. What you're lacking is mothers and fathers that are going to raise up the next generation. And so I love the verbiage that Paul uses. He says, so I'm sending my not my prodigy that I've trained up. I'm not sending my best and my brightest. He says, I'm sending to you my son in the faith. I'm sending to you this person that I've poured out to. Not the skilled, not the most, he was skilled in all that good stuff. But Paul says, this is my son. More than he is anything. And can I tell you, the generations that we are facing right now, the generations that we're working with, are a broken, fatherless, motherless, dysfunctional generation. And more than they need us telling them what to do, they need us encouraging them, just like Pastor Craig said. They need older generations that have walked through life and say, you know what, I've been there, I've done that. You're not going to die in this spot. This is not where your story ends. We're going to get through this together. You're not in this alone. And they need mothers and they need fathers. And I don't know what sphere of influence you find yourself in. Maybe you're building a church. Maybe you're building a nonprofit or a business. Or I don't know where you're at. But I can guarantee you that there are young people in your sphere of influence that have experienced brokenness and chaos and hurt. And what they're looking for is mothers and fathers that will lead them into the purposes that God has for them that they don't even see in and of themselves. They don't even know it. But that's the awesome thing about moms and dads is they know their kids. They know the call of God. They know the giftings. They know. And they begin to speak it out when there's all sorts of other places of culture that are going to begin to speak to them. They say, no, I know who I am because I have mothers and fathers that have invested into me. They've poured into me, and they've built me up. And it's so worth it. And the kingdom of God is all about the generations working together. Heaven is full of generations, and we get to be part of that together. And I'm so honored and so privileged, and I believe that God is up to something incredible in this season, and it's going to take generations to advance the kingdom of God.
So our thought, if we can follow your thoughts or ideas, was maybe split up in some groups for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and ask each other some questions. And here's some questions. Who are you reaching back to currently? You know, there's a pastor in our city that had wanted me to mentor him and walk with him, and I did for a while, and then I realized he didn't have any young people in his life. And so every time we get together, guess what question I would ask him? Who are your Daniels? Who are your Esthers? Who are you reaching out to? And I loved it. About a year later, we sat down in a meeting, and he had three young people that he was meeting with on a regular basis. And I'll tell you what, he had come alive. He had purpose, he had destiny. So if we could break up in small groups, Helen, help me. How many people in a group do you want?
But probably no more than three or four.
Okay.
Just so that everyone gets to talk.
And the question is, who are you currently working with, reaching out to in the generation coming behind you? And if that question is quickly, nope, nobody, then the next question is, who is a possibility?
Yeah.
Who are some possibilities? And let's write them down and let's reach out to them. Amen? So let's do that for about 10 minutes. Thank you.